Every person in here is important to God, amen. Last week we had a packed house. This week don't have so many people, but you know what? I always look at the person that God wants to speak to and speak through. And I tell you, God has a word for you today, amen. That our God reigns, man. That was awesome. That was awesome. I was speaking to my brother back there about how that worship just penetrated our hearts this morning. And I was thinking about the scripture in Psalms 34:8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." And like Shakur was saying this morning, it's a difference between trusting in what you see and trusting in what you don't see. And one of the things I've been learning about the heart of God is sometimes you can't explain it. Like I was talking to one of my brothers back here, you can't explain with words how good he is. You can't fathom the words of explaining to him how good he is. You just know that he's good in your inside. And that's the part that God wants us to live by every single day, about our insides. And I said, truly, it's trying to explain it to someone. It's like explaining colors to a blind person. You can talk about the colors, you can talk about all these things, but until you've been touched with that love of God that has reversed your sentence, you don't know nothing about God. You can know all the rules, you can know all the do's and don'ts, you can know the commandments, but if you haven't been hit with that love that died for your sins, that says, you know what, you're not guilty anymore for anything that you've done, I'll take your place, like the electric chair, I'll switch in your place, and I take in your place, and I'm going to die for every wrong thing that you've done. If we don't experience that with our hearts, then we haven't even touched a fathom of what God wants us to begin in. Amen? I have a story that I usually tell about one of my missionary friends. He goes around the church is talking about how God showed him salvation, like the very first time he was shown salvation, of how it really looked like. And he was getting shipped over here from overseas. And his parents wanted him to have a new fresh start, a new beginning, but they used to get shipped illegally. Everybody say illegally. And so he's breaking the rules, he's breaking the law. And he's been in church all of his life now. He's about 16 years old. He's been in church, he knows all the do's and don'ts, he knows what to say, how to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen, how you doing? I'm blessed, highly favored, deeply loved. He knew all the right words, but he was hungry for God's love. He said, I've never known your love. I've read about your love, but I've never experienced it with my heart. How many of y'all know it's the difference between experiencing God with your brain and experiencing it with your heart? You know, don't you? Experiencing with your heart is when you feel God's love in your insides. And you move from that love in your insides. And he said, Lord, he's just crying on that boat and he's getting shipped over to America. I just want to experience your love. I just want your love to be present. I never experienced your love. Everybody betrayed me. I always have people, friends talk about me. People do me wrong. Boyfriends, girlfriends. He said, I just want to know your love. And as they was pulling up on the dock, the patrol officer called pretty much all of them and told them to get off the boat, and they was getting arrested and being shipped back immediately. And he was still under this little blanket saying, Lord, I just want to know your love. I just want to know your love. And this one sheriff took the boy and grabbed him and said, here, I want you to come with me. And he placed him in his back seat. And he was just crying and fear and trembling. He didn't know what was about to go on. And he said, just stay back here. Just stay back here. As they arrested all of the people that was coming over illegally, he told them, you know what? God wants me to show you his love today. I'm going to make you a legal citizen, and I'm going to make sure that you stay in this country. I was like, oh my God. When he said that he experienced his love for the first time, he really experienced his love for the first time. And it's sunk into his heart. And then the Lord says, you see how you feel right here? When your sentence has been reversed, where you know that you was in the wrong coming over here, but guess what? I reversed your sentence. I've given you something that you didn't deserve. That's what we should be experiencing every day of our life. Our imagination can experience His love in an impactful way that it just brings us to tears. As a counselor and psychologist friends that I know of, every trauma that happens in our life, that's exactly what a psychologist go for. But God can give you new experiences, new imaginations. I remember one time God was showing me His love so much that I was just in a crying position in my bed, just crying for 4 hours. Where I just like, I had to ask the Lord, slow up, please. Slow up and show me your love. I gotta go to sleep. I gotta wake up. I was working at UPS. I gotta wake up 3:30 in the morning. And God can give you new experiences. Some of you all have been asleep, like Beauty and the Beast, waiting for your one true love kiss. And God said, wake up, I'm here. I kissed you 2,000 years ago when I gave my only son to die for you on the cross. Wake up today and know that He loves you. Wake up today and know that He cares for you, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Boyfriends, girlfriends, lovers, people may leave you, but He will never leave you. His love is permanent and it's here to stay, amen? He says, wake up out of the slumber. The Bible calls it a slumber because I believe everyone in here has believed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But sometimes we can be asleep. Amen? It's not that you're not in the family, but you're asleep. You're not aware of the access that you got in Him. In Him, we can have peace, joy, and that imagination realm where we can know God is real. You know, I pick up some people on my bus route every now and again, and this one lady all the time is come on a bus, and the husband releases her every morning, and they've been married for about 45 years, and he cries every time he gets on the bus. And I was like, I had just asked him one time, I was like, why do you cry every time? He said, because when I got married to her 45 years ago, even though she can't do nothing for me, I still love her. I still care for her. I still care for her. And you know what? Some of us have forgot about God. Some of us have forgotten about how much you love us. But just because you've been asleep, God ain't sleeping on you. He is always on the clock. He is always on duty saying, I'm just waiting for you to love me today. I'm just waiting for you to know that I'm here for you today. You see, only God can reverse the sentence. No man on earth can reverse the sentence. Amen? Amen. Romans 5:7 says, no one is willing to die for another person. But for a good man, someone might be willing to die. But God showed His love to us while we were still sinners. You see, some of us, I've heard this many times, I'm only going to go to church when I got it right. Guess what? He said He didn't die for you when you had it right.
Come on, bro.
He died for you when you had it wrong.
Come on, bro.
Okay. Christ died for us. That's my little saying, right? Okay. I just tripped on it. Now that we have been saved from punishment of sin by the blood of Christ, He will save us from grace. Save us from God's anger also. When you know that the sentence has been lifted off of you, there's a freedom that happens. Like how we were today, just eating donuts, you know, we in church, we chilling, we kicking it because we know we free. When you're condemnation bound, when you're sinning on, oh man, what have I done? What have I done something wrong? Then you're sin conscious. And God don't want us to be sin conscious. He wants us to be free. Yeah. When He died 2,000 years ago, He didn't die with stipulation saying, okay, I died, but you know what? I died and you got to pay something to me. No, He died once and for all so we could be free. And when we don't understand that, when we're sin conscious, guilt conscious of what the stuff we've done wrong, He's not seeing us. I have a person on my job that, like I said, I had loaned some money to. It was a couple bucks, 20 bucks, something like that. And, you know, they wasn't able to pay it, you know, in time or whatever that I told. But I actually forgot about it. You know, pretty much it wasn't on my mind. Because it's a good friend of mine that worked. So nobody in here, amen. But I always got to say that and make sure I keep my. But anyway, this person, every time I start to see him, like a month, 2 months, Every time I see them, they walk away from me. Like they was ashamed to be around me. Every time, hey, what's going on? Hey, man, I'll catch you later, you know? And they'll go to their car. And I told the person, listen, forget about that, man. It's cool. And they end up paying me back. But even then, after they paid me back, they still had this condemnation, this guilt in their heart. Where my mind, I forgot about it. Just like Jesus said, the way he says, he's washed away your sins, and he remembers them what? No more. I tell people, if you throw in your sins into the sea of forgiveness, then what? Stop scuba diving. Stop trying to bring them up. And stop trying to bring up the light in you, the Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. If we're only on sin conscious, then we're only thinking about God not as our daughters and sons, but we're thinking of him as a servant. He wants us to think of him as his sons, his daughters. In Romans 3:20 says, for no one can ever be right with God by doing what the law commands. I'm going to say that again. Some of you might know. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Okay. Should I go there? The law will never make you whole. The law will only show you that you are not whole. The law is not meant to, you know, I see people, when I get right, I'm going to do this, listen, Jesus has already made you righteous. You're righteous by him and him alone. And believe in him. Everything that comes after is the fruit of the Spirit. It's when the heart and the seed comes together and you're mingling as one. Then fruits come from that. Fruits come from what? Knowing that my sentence has been reversed. Knowing that when I walk into a room, I never have to be condemned a day in my life.
Come on.
It's over with.
It's done.
It's done. You know, we got this thing called a double jeopardy. I was looking at Law and Order. And you can never place a crime on again once it's already been placed upon a person. And that's what we do in our minds. We're living in double jeopardy sometimes. We're placing the same crime that Jesus said, I take the punishment for. I took your condemnation. I got your crown right here. So you don't have to worry. So you don't have to stress. He said, by his stripes, we were healed. That heal means whole in our hearts. Because of what he's done, guess what? I can rest and abide in him. This is the good news that people, it's hard to believe. That Jesus took it all. I mean, he took it all, but don't I need to do something? Yeah, you need to receive. And when you receive, guess what? That light is like a mirror. You transfer that light. You look at a mirror, and that mirror is radiating light based off of what it's looking at. We're reflectors. And sometimes I hear people say, well, you don't know the God I serve. Well, you know, I used to say it too. But now I say, you don't know the God that serves me. You don't know the God that died for me. When Peter tried to wash his feet, he said, no, Lord, I ain't gonna let you wash my feet, but I'm gonna wash your feet. God says, you can't have nothing to do with me if you don't let me wash your feet. If you're busy occupying, saying, I gotta do this, and guess what? You're cut off for the reverse. But once you say, you know what, Lord, I just allow you to wash my feet. That's what Peter ended up saying. You know what? Wash my feet, Lord. Wash my whole body. Amen. And you know what? Jesus will wash your feet. He will cleanse you. Because you his son. You his daughter. You are a son and daughter of that servant. You're not serving so you can try to break in to be a son. Because no man can be made right by the law. You know, I have a father out here. And he works at, you know, at a company where he's a foreman over people. And every time I talk to the workers, his crew, his pipe man, they go, man, your daddy a hard worker, boy. He be on nothing. I'm like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, man. We be working for your pop, boy. He don't show us some slack, boy. He want us to get the job done. I'm like, oh, okay. And every time I talk to some of his work, and I'm like, I don't see my dad the way they see him. I see my dad in a whole different light. Now let me tell you this. I always serve my dad more than the workers do. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says this. A servant don't know what the master is up to. But the son, the sons and daughters do know what the master is up to. That means when you serve, he wants you to serve out of a right heart. A heart knowing that, you know what? All my sins are forgiven. I'm loved. And now I'm served because I am loved. I'm not serving to try to get love. I'm not serving because I'm trying to break into heaven. I don't have to pray so I can break into heaven. Heaven is already broken into my heart. And because he has broken into my heart and he loves me, now I can serve. Now I can love the right way. Anything else is nothing but pride. Anything else is nothing but building up your knowledge, puffing up yourself, and trying to make yourself seem bigger than somebody else. All that stuff is nothing. But something, you know, a real testimony is not what you did for God. It's what God has done for you. You can hear it. The Bible says his sheep know his voice. You can hear it when that pride is there. And you can hear it when, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord, that person, he would have been in trouble. You know what I mean? You would know. You would hear it. The scent of it. Amen? Amen. Blessed are those whose sins is not held against them. You know, Daniel said this, and even Paul had repeated this in Romans 4:7. It says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has cleared of sin. Amen. It's a joy. You know, I remember riding, me and my friends used to ride to go get Jordans and Carpenter. I remember I was going out kind of speed, going through this little town, going to Carpenter called Pickneyville, where it's like one sheriff, one judge, and one lawyer, and all of them is one. One of those type of things. Hey, Larry. And so, the cop, he lived, his house was the place where he drove off and caught people. And so, wow. He ended up getting me. And said, you know, I got to come back for this hearing. I'm like, man, can I just pay the ticket? And back that time, I was kind of, you know, I was needing some ends. I said, man, I can't afford this ticket right now, you know? And I remember going to court for the ticket. And I just went to the judge. I said, I just plead, can I just have some mercy and some grace? And you know what? He let me go. Amen. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. But you know what? When they bang that gavel and they say it's over with, I don't have to revisit to make sure if I'm guilty. When I go to a job interview and I tell them about my transportation, I don't have to say nothing about my ticket. I don't have to say anything about it because it's been cleared. See, some people think that, okay, you've been cleared, that means you've never done nothing wrong. Listen, it says forgiveness is this, whose sins are put out of sight. It's not that you never did nothing wrong. It's that God says, I'm placing it out of my sight. And now I choose to see you as a new man. Where you used to relate to yourself as an old man, I choose to see you as righteous. I choose to blot out all those things that you used to see about yourself, and I choose to see you as lovely. You never have to relate to yourself anymore by the old man. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, I've made all things new. Who are the all things? He made us new. He made us new in his eyesight. So I remember talking to this one person at this old church that used to go to. They said, you know what? I look at people and I can just sniff out all the sin that's in the room. like a hound dog. I'm like, God did not make you the sin cop. You know, that's not what you created for. Paul said this. He said, I choose to see no man after the flesh, but after those spirits. That means when I talk to you, if I'm having a counseling session, every person that has changed from a counseling session changed because I related to them by their new man. I said, you know what? You're going to do wonderful things. You're going to do great things. I watched this Mike Tyson document yesterday, how this guy was just speaking beautiful things into his life. He said, you're going to be the champion of the world one day. You're going to be this. And he said, man, this feels kind of weird. He's talking to me all this stuff. But he was talking to him out of the faith realm. He was talking to him about how God seen him. He wouldn't relate to him by he'd been locked up over 40 different times. And he allowed him to live in his house. He said, man, you're going to run. You're going to be the champ. You're going to be wonderful. You're going to be excellent. He thought he was a little worried until he started understanding it. He was giving him a new identity. And when he received that new identity and he continued to hear it, guess what? He became transformed. You know, but guess what? That's the reason why you need to hear this word, I say, every week. Because trying to change your life, I said this on Facebook, trying to change your life without God's love, without his mercy, without his forgiveness, receiving it every day is like trying to ice skate uphill. You make many moves, but you don't go nowhere. You do many things to try to get up. Guess what? You go nowhere. Only his love can carry you up that hill. Our flesh can't do it. Me saying, I'm going to improve myself. Guess what? You can improve yourself, but did love tell you to do that? Did love tell you to improve? If love said, you know what, go to the school, then I can go to the school. If love tell me to do this, then I would do that because I'm corresponding based on what he's told me, off of his love message that he gave to me. Amen?
Amen.
And so when I looked at that Mike Tyson, I was like, you know what? Every person that's changed is changed because they heard something new. They heard somebody giving them a new identity instead of relating. You know, he could have relayed to him about his old identity. Oh, man, you ain't nothing but a thief, a common thief. Get out of my house. You know, but that's not the love that God gives us. He gives us a love that we've never heard before that says, I don't see you the way you see me. I see you in a whole different life. A whole different life, amen?
Amen.
John 9:25 says this. I don't know where he, This is a scripture where I had to explain a little bit where Jesus had came into town and healed a man that was blind. And the people was so sin conscious. They was looking on, hey, who's sin to make you blind? Have you ever been in a situation? What sin that got you here? Jesus says, I'm not worried about your sin that got you here. I'm worried about deliverance. Jesus is never worried about the things and the things that's troubling your life. He's worried about opening your eyes so you can see who you really are. See, if you talk to people about how they used to be, then they'll stay where they used to be. Anything that happened in your life that's new, it's because you heard something different, right? And that's how God relates to us. He wants us to experience his love in a way that we've never seen before. Where it hits us, and I know, just like I was at Pickneyville, my sentence is clear. I know I can ride through this town, and I'm good. I know I can go to police, hey man, I ain't got no warrants, I'm good. I can talk to you, hey, what you up to? You know, but I don't have to talk in fear and shame. I don't have to come like I'm scared anymore because I know God has cleared my guilt. And when this man came to Jesus, the disciple says, what did he do? Did he sin or was it his parents sin? And Jesus said, it's not about none of that. He says, this is about showing God's glory in his life. If you got something weak in your life, it's not about tracing back who did wrong. If you really want to trace back, it's Adam that brought sin. But guess what? It's Jesus that lifted that sin. Amen? And they would just keep asking and asking. And he ended up recovering his sight. He ended up being where he could see again. And they just wanted to know. They kept asking him, you know what? What caused you to be blind? What was it? What was it? And they said this. This is what the man that was blind said. I don't know where he is. They were talking about Jesus. I don't know whether he is a sinner, the man replied. But I know this. I was blind, and now I see. That's all that matters. I was blind, and now I see. It don't even matter about my past. It don't even matter about where I came from. It don't even matter about the things that has violated. You know, I was listening to George Miners and how she been taken advantage of in her early childhood years over 40 different times by her grandfather. I was like, man, that's sick. But Jordan Fine says, you know what? I got new experience that replaced all those old experiences. Woo, come on now. I got new experiences in Christ. He loves me. He gave his life for me. When I think about that love, it cancels out every guilt. It cancels out every debt. It cancels out every shame that I ever had, ever in my life. I don't never have to relate to myself no more. I don't never have to walk with my head down anymore. I can walk with my head up because I know there's a Savior that's right here with me. He wants us all to be awakened that your Savior is not somewhere in the by and by. My Savior is here right now. He stands with me as I preach. He stands with me as I drive. When my car was flipped over a couple of times and went into a ditch, my Savior was like, I'm right here with you. When I was getting robbed one day and the person let me go, he ended up beating the next man to death. He's like, I was there with you. My Savior was there when my teacher was being hard on me. He said, I was there. I never left you. I never forsaken you. I am here even right now. Open up your eyes and see that he has never left you. Open up your eyes and see that even though sometimes things get hard, that your Savior is right here near you. That he loves you. That he's holding you. And guess what? If you experience him one time and you don't experience him the next day, it's not that he's enough. Sometimes we just forget. But he's waking us up this morning, amen? He's waking us up. He's showing us that I'm here right now. Just because you don't see me don't mean I'm not here. It's radio waves going all through this room right now. You don't see them, but they hear. God is here right now.
Come on.
Turn up, bro.
He is here right now. And when he is here, I'm going to tell you what you experience. I'm going to tell you what you experience. You experience boldness.
Come on now.
In the day of judgment. When you know that your sin is reversed, you can walk, you can talk like you're not guilty. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Why you always talk about need, man? Because he said mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you need him, he's here. Even when we was driving yesterday, I couldn't find a parking spot. I said, Lord, help me find a parking spot. And pop, right back out. Pull right in. I can ask him anything. He is my daddy. I know he loves me. I know he was there for me.
Amen.
It's the difference between having him in your head and having him in your heart.
Amen.
If you need a job, he'll give you that job. If you need a help, he'll give you that help. If you need this, he'll give you that. According to his grace and riches and his glory. Yeah. Not based off of my broke.
Come on.
I'm not broke, but I'm just saying. He is given to us according to his riches. Yeah. So I don't have to pull from my account. I can always pull from his account. If I'm low on energy and I don't feel like taking the trash out, I can pull on God's account. If I'm low on energy and I don't feel like coming to church, I can pull from God's account and get in, just like that. You can always pull from, amen. Exactly. You can always pull from, amen. Always get in. And you know what? One of the things that happens when you dig in like that, oh man, this is the best part right here. I'm going to close with this. Matthew 11, 28 says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Amen. You know, me and Keisha go on many vacations, but I've learned something. Going on a lot of vacation can't rest your soul.
That's right.
And if I think it can rest my soul, I'll come back out to that vacation, need a vacation from my vacation. It's only one thing that can rest your soul. Knowing that the guilty has been cleared, knowing that Jesus is by your side, amen? That he walks with you. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Amen. I tell you, he said, come unto me today, and I will give you rest for your soul. Where your mind, your will, your emotions have been tortured, have been tormented, don't know how certain things gonna work out. Guess what? I ain't gotta find out how it's gonna work out. Only thing I know is I'm in him, he's in me, and he gonna work it out. When it's all dependent on me, that's where stress lies.
Yeah.
But when I know that God is in control, and God has my heart, he got my best interest, that I can relax. You know, I made a vow to Keisha yesterday. I said, you know what? I'm going to live a relaxed life for the rest of my life. I'm not going to worry about nothing. If he paid for it, why am I trying to pay for it? If he died for it, why am I trying to worry? The Bible says, by his stripes, I was whole in my heart. He says in Isaiah 53, I know I said that was going to be the last one, but one more. But he was pierced for our rebellion. How many of y'all rebelled against God? I ain't no pizzazz. He was crushed for our sins. Some of us may have sinned, some of us may not. He was beaten so we could be what? Whole. He was whipped so we could be healed.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Why are we here? Because of something that you do, no man is made right by the works of the law. Remember that. Keep that in your heart. Keep that in your memory banks. Because if you hear somebody saying, if you do this, do this, do this, A, B, C, D, then you'll be made whole. Guess what? You got to make a decision. I'm not hearing that no more. When you taste of how good he is, you know that everything that your life do now is fruits. Going back to that, it's like a dog returning back to the vomit from which he came from. Because guess what? That's the illustration of frustration that God says when you can just come to me today and rest. You ain't got to come to this person. You ain't got to come to this person, a man, or this, or that. No, you just come to me. And I'll show you, guess what? You forgiven. You set free. I love you. And I'll never leave. Amen?
Amen.
Give a hand clap to God, man. He's good. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I know something today. And today somebody got touched. Somebody got touched and they heard God's voice today. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody heard God's voice today. And somebody was going one way and I see you in the spirit. You turn right back around and say, you know what? My eyes open now. I'm not going to allow anything to deceive me. I know God is with me. Even though I don't see him sometimes with my natural eyes, your bank account may not look the way you want it to look. God is with you. I pray with many people for jobs this month and they just got them just like that. You know why? Because God is with you. He wants to show you in your life that he's with you. The first time I experienced God is when I had situations happening in school, and I said, God, I want to see you. And he showed me who he really was. Amen? He will show you in that same way. Everybody just bow your heads. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for every person under the tongue of this building, Father. We just thank you that they are blessed. They're going to have the best week of their life this week, Father, because you love them, Jesus. You died for them, Lord. We sing the song, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my pains. I'm laying them down for the glory of the Lord. We can rest in you, Jesus, today. We can rest in your love. Everything may not have gone your way this week. Everything may not have gone your way this year. He don't want you to know this. He wants you to know that he will never leave you, never forsake. He was there for you. He was there when that person rejected you. He was there when that person denied you. And he said, you know what? I still love you. I still there for you. I ain't never left you. I still care for you. I'm your lover. Only depend on me because nobody gonna love you the way he gonna love you. Amen?
Amen.
If this message hit your heart, just raise your hand right there. Father God, by the indication of their arms reaching out to you, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are going to move through their souls this morning in a mighty way, that they're never going to forget this experience today. That this will be like a landmark, to show this day forth. I don't have to wrestle. I don't have to fight to pull you down. You are here, right now. And we receive that today in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.